This morning, I'm going to be reading out of Judges, and I can't quite seem to get out of the Old Testament right now. But several weeks ago, I'd wanted to share this message, or to share about this, and it seemed like I needed to talk a little bit more about why they were in the position they were in. We know that when God brought the Israelites to the land of Israel where they were at, that he told them to drive out all the natives, all the people that were living there, and they didn't. And so it began a cycle of what I shared on last time was sowing and reaping, where they would be good, they would cry out to God, and God would send someone and deliver them. And then things would fall off. And so in Judges 6, where we're going to start out at, we find them, and it's been 7 years since they had fallen off. And the beginning of it, verse 1 of chapter 6 says, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds, which are in the mountains." And when we were in Israel, we did not visit this particular part of Israel, but we seen places where they would, in the mountains, they would make caves to live in. Some of it was to escape the oppressors. Some of them, they lived up on the hills to get away from them. So then verse 3 says, "So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts, both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord." And the place where they lived was a valley. I believe it was the Valley of Jezreel, I believe it says. But if you're in Jerusalem, Jerusalem is pretty barren looking. It's not the part of Israel that I would choose to live in. It's a lot of rocks. But if you cross over to the Jordan area, when you cross through the mountains and come down towards into the valley, it's just green and lush and everything. And this is where they were at. I mean, it's just green as can be, very, very, very fruitful. But every time they would sow a plant, they would sow a crop, the Midianites would come in and destroy it. So here we find them; they're crying out to the Lord. It says, verse 8 says that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you from Egypt, brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God, do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. But God is a merciful God. It says they've not obeyed his voice, but he's going to send someone to deliver them. So verse 11 finds Gideon. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites." Now, Gideon was threshing his wheat, and one of the things that you want to do when you thresh wheat is you want to bake kind of up on top of a hill or up on top where the wind can blow through the chaff as you thresh it, as you beat it. You want the chaff to blow out. But Gideon, he was scared of the Midianites. For one, he didn't want them to take his wheat, but it says he was afraid of them. He was hiding. So instead of that, he was down in a hole. And one of the gardens, one of the places where the places where they think, you know, could have happened where Christ was crucified, they actually had a wine press there. And it was down in a hole where they put the stuff in and then smash it. So Gideon was down in a hole hiding from the Midianites. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" Now, a mighty man of valor is someone who is courageous, someone who has proved his worth in battle. This doesn't sound like a mighty man of valor. He's hiding. You know, this is something's not adding up here. So Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So Gideon's like, "Yeah, well, if the Lord's with us, you know, where is he?" And one of the things that, if you look in verse 13, he says, "Oh my Lord," and he says twice, "Oh my Lord," once in verse 15 then. But if you look in your Bible, it says, "Oh my Lord," in verse 13, and it's the lowercase L. That means he doesn't realize who he's talking to yet. He doesn't realize. He thinks someone just showed up. He doesn't know who it is. Probably all of a sudden this person is there, and his first thought is this a Midianite? Somebody caught me threshing my wheat. But he doesn't know who it is. So he kind of lets this angel of the Lord have it. He's like, "Well, if the Lord is with us, he has forsaken us. Where is he at?" He said, "You know, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Verse 14 says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" Then verse 15 says, "So he said to him, 'O my Lord.'" And if you look there, it's the uppercase. It's the capital case, Lord. So he realizes who he's talking to right here. He says, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Doesn't sound like a mighty man of valor to me. He doesn't even want to fight. But God is calling him to greater things. And it's not unusual for that to happen. Several times in the scriptures, Moses was one of them. The Lord actually got angry with Moses. In Exodus 4, verse 10 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, said to the Lord, 'O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.' So the Lord said to him, 'Who makes man's mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with you with your mouth and teach you what you shall say.' But he said, 'O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send.'" He didn't want to do it. Moses didn't want to go. Verse 14 says, "So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." He was angry with him. We find Gideon in the same position. Gideon's like, "Not me, Lord. I'm the weakest in my tribe is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the weakest in my family. I'm the youngest. I'm the weakest. Don't send me." But I can relate to Gideon. It seems like Gideon wanted some signs, and Gideon didn't want to make the decision to do it. And I can be like that. That's probably one of my weaknesses. My wife would be glad to tell you that I take a lot of time to make a decision. And sometimes you look for a sign, and it's one of the things. So I can relate to Gideon. Gideon didn't want this to begin with. But then the Lord says to him, "You know what? I'm going to be with you." He says, verse 16 says, "And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" So then he said to him, this is Gideon talking to the Lord. He said, Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me." How many times do we do that to the Lord? Say, "Lord, this is what you want me to do, give me a sign. You know, if you just give me a sign. He says, do not depart from here. I pray until I come to you. Bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot. And he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose up out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So Gideon wants a sign. And as the angel of the Lord says, told him, put it up, put this here on the rock, pour out the broth. And he touched it. What a sign that would be if we could have a sign like that. Verse 22 says, now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. It doesn't say the angel of the Lord comes back to him, but it says the Lord is speaking to him now, telling him, peace, do not fear. You know, that was one of the things that we know is you cannot see the face of God. And so Gideon didn't know who was speaking to him exactly, except that he knew it was coming from God. So God says to him, do not fear, you shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now it came to pass the same night, and the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. So the Lord is giving him a job to do. He says, that idol that's on your dad's property, tear it down. I want you to build an altar and to sacrifice this young bull on your father's land here. Build an altar. He's already given him a sign. You'd think that with that sign, Gideon would now be a mighty man of valor. Gideon's still fearful. It says, so Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. Okay, that sounds good. It says, but because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. So, he still does it. He obeys. But he's still scared. Here's this man that God is speaking to in an audible voice and telling him to do what he should do. And he's still fearful. How many times do I find myself still fearful? But he's obedient. He's still obedient at this point. He's still obedient. He's obeying. Maybe his timing is a little slow. Sometimes I get that way too. My timing is a little slow. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wood image that was beside it was cut down. And the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash has done this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. They were upset. Their altar, their God that they had been worshiping, had been torn down, had been burned up. They were upset by this. They were probably fearful of what this altar, this God was going to do to them. What was it going to mean to them? Said, but then his dad said, but Joash said to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. And if he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. So his dad says, Joash says, you know what? If he's a god, if Baal's a god, let him take care of himself. So therefore on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his altar. Now verse 33, is when the Midianites come to town. It says, then all the Midianites, Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together and crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. So they're coming. They're going to destroy everything that the Israelites have built again. How many times has this happened? And with them, they bring too many to count, it says. But find later on that there was 135,000 men encamped in this valley. It said, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. It's like a changed man. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and then he blew the trumpet, and the Bezerites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And it seems like this is a new Gideon. This mighty man of valor that the angel had spoken to was coming out. But then we get to verse 36, and Gideon is back to his old ways again. He's fearful again. It says, So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have said, now he wants another sign. And it's not so much as, God, are you going to save Israel? Are you going to save us? He says, if you will save Israel by my hand, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and if it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said. Gideon was scared. And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. So we all know the chances of this happening are not really, it's not really possible. It doesn't happen to us today. If you put something outside and it's dew on the ground, actually this was not dew on the ground, and there's dew on just what you put out there, that doesn't happen to us. But Gideon, he wanted more proof than that. It says, then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. And it was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. So now Gideon has his third sign from the Lord. His first sign was the meat consumed by fire. The next sign was the fleece was wet. The third sign he had was the fleece was dry. So now we find Gideon in chapter 7. He's ready to go into battle now for the Lord. It says, then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Horeb, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. So all these Midianites, 135,000, are in the valley. And here we have Gideon and his army, 32,000 against 135,000. If you do the math, it's 4-1. So for every Israelite, there was 4 Midianites, Amalekites. That's not very good odds. If you were going into battle, you would not want that. You would not want those odds. But Gideon, he was faithful. He was fearful, but he knew that God was with him. But the Lord wasn't done yet. Seems like the Lord wanted to tell him, you know what? This is mine. In verse 2 it says, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. And I can imagine Gideon saying, Lord, it's 4-1. Hello, we can't beat them by ourselves. You know, you got to give me some help. I mean, we're already 4-1. You want to get rid of some of my army? But Gideon is obedient. It says, now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. Now how disheartening would that have been to be one of those 10,000 and to see those 22,000, over half your army, two-thirds of your army, turns around and leaves. And you're already 4-1. And they turn around and leave and walk out. It's like, I don't want to be part of that 10,000. But God wasn't done yet. He said, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Are you kidding me? It's now 13 to 1, 13.5 to 1. I mean, I wouldn't want those odds if one of them had guns and the other one just had knives. I mean, those aren't good odds. But he says, too many. He says, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, and the same shall go with you, and of whomever I say, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps in the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to the mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. So 300 of them, as we know, got down on their knees. They got water out of there and kept their heads up and lapped out of their hands as they drank. And those are the ones that God said, this is your army. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. I can just imagine Gideon saying, Lord, you've already took two-thirds of my army. Now you left me with 300. That's 450-1. This is not possible with us. But God's got a plan. You know, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's got a plan for your life. You may not know what it is. You may not like it, the way it's looking. I'm sure Gideon, if you would have just sent him 300 men, he would not have been happy. But he's trusting in God. At this point, he is committed to trusting God. So it goes on. It says, then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down to the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. And this next part is one of the parts that I love, because Gideon had asked for signs. Gideon asked three times, Lord, give me a sign. Lord, give me a sign. But now the Lord, even though he answered him and gave him signs, the Lord's saying, you know what? I'm going to give you one more sign. Just to show you, I'm going to give you one more sign. It says, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah your servant. And you shall hear what they say. And afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah his servant to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley, as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, and as the sand of by the seashore in multitude. So Gideon goes into their camp. Somehow he snuck in there. They didn't know who he was. Said, when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I've had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it, so that it fell over and overturned, and the tent collapsed. So this guy is telling his buddy, he's like, I had this dream, and a barley loaf. And to us, we don't really know the difference between what a barley loaf is and a regular loaf. But a barley loaf was what poor people ate. A barley loaf was the commoners bread was anybody could get barley loaf. It wasn't the rich wheat bread that the rich people ate. But he said the tent collapsed. And then he said, then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God had delivered Midian and the whole camp. How did this man know who Gideon was? We have no idea whether he actually knew who Gideon was, but for some reason, he knew the answer to this dream that his friend had had. And here's Gideon. He's come into their camp, and he hears this dream, and he hears the interpretation of what it is. How powerful that must have been to him. How encouraging. And it says, and so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, then he worshipped. He worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel. How empowered was he? At that point, he was a mighty man of valor. He probably would have run through a wall, you know. But it says, he returned and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand, with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me, and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came out to the came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. They didn't even touch their swords. They had a pitcher, they had a light in one hand and a trumpet in the other. And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And when the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia, towards Zariah, as far as the border of Baal Meholah by Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. So then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and seize from them the watering places as far as Bethberah and the Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Bethberah and Jordan. Gideon won the battle. God won the battle for Gideon. But Gideon was obedient. The beginning of the story where we picked up at, Gideon was fearful. And I'm sure that Gideon, throughout all of it, when God starts trimming his army down, Gideon was still fearful. But Gideon was obedient. God doesn't call us. He's not going to give us all the answers. He's not going to give us what our life is going to look like. We don't know the plans that he has for us. We don't know the calling that he has maybe for our lives. But he does want us to be obedient. He does want us to follow his call and to be obedient. And just like these men of Gideon outnumbered 450-1, it wasn't possible on their own talents, on their own abilities, to defeat this army. It wasn't going to happen. But they had God on their side. God was fighting the battle. Without even drawing a sword, the enemy was put to death and fled. The rest of them fled. If you read later on, there was 15,000 of them that had lived to flee to another section. So 120,000 between the camp and where they arrived in their destination were killed. and the other parts of Israel that Gideon had set aside had come down and helped. But 300 men had set 135,000 to fleeing. But it wasn't those men. It was God. And it was because not only Gideon, but because those men were obedient and followed what God had told them. So my question is, what does God have for you? What is God calling you to do? If you look around us, the future seems very uncertain. If you've got children, you can be fearful for your children and what they might have to face. But if they've got God on their side, if you've got God on your side, and we're obedient to Him, He's going to take care of us. God has a better plan than what we have. Our best plans that we have are nowhere near what He has for us. So, I hope that the story of Gideon encourages you as much as it has encouraged me. I've been reading it through for the last 3 or 4 weeks, kind of, and every time I read it, I'm just encouraged by his obedience. He wasn't a mighty man of valor that we think of when he was hidden in the wine press trying to thresh his wheat out. But because he followed God, was obedient, he became that mighty man of valor that God wanted him to be. Let's all stand for prayer, and we can be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We thank you for your word that we have. Father, we thank you for the story of Gideon and how you used this simple man who, in his own words, was from a tiny clan, the weakest in Manasseh. He was the weakest of his family. And yet we know that with you, all things are possible because you've got a better plan than we have. Your thoughts are not our thoughts, and your ways are not our ways. Your ways are much better. So we thank you for your mighty power that you have. And we ask that you would just be with us. Father, I pray that you would embolden us to go forth and to let your light shine, to be obedient to your calling on our lives. Father, you have given us each a job to do, a task to do in life. And I pray that you would just help us to do it with all our might, with all our strength, and to be obedient to you. I ask that you would go with us this week. Be with us as we go from here. I pray for protection for each one here, for those who are not able to be with us this morning. Father, I pray that you would just help us all to let your light shine and to be that light in the darkness to the world. Go with us and keep us. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be dismissed.